Madison Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Appelgarth. What's up, man?
Not much. Just repping the old school We Won't Stop shirt here. Thanks to Adley's walk-off today.
That was phenomenal.
It was awesome. Yep.
The defense has really got to step up, man. The offense is not going to be able to carry this team like this for much longer. It is brutal. So we are back this week talking a little buy low, sell high action here. Now that we are, a couple weeks into the season, we're starting to get a little bit of, tell on some of these guys. Maybe some of them are overperforming. Maybe some are underperforming. It's a little bit of a guessing game, but we got some stats behind it to help us make some decisions. And before we jump into things, though, I just want to remind you all to go to fantasysixpack.net/plans and become an all-access member. You're going to get access to the most accurate rankings out there right now. Keith Lott is doing the rest of season rankings over on Fantasy Six Pack, and he was the number one most accurate ranker on Fantasy Pros last season. So you get those. You get our DFS projections, our betting tools, our custom advice for your leagues on Discord. You're only going to get that if you are an all-access member. Our Discord is free, but, it's just there for us to chat and have fun. You guys can talk amongst yourselves. But if you want the custom advice from all of us at Fantasy Six Pack, you're going to need to become a member. And, of course, football season is rolling in soon, so there will be much more to come with that all-access membership as well. So that being said, make sure you hit those subscribe buttons, those like buttons, leave those comments. We appreciate it. It does us a lot of good here. And let's bring in he's not even a guest anymore. He's our third host, Mr. Dab Scout. What is up, man?
Man, wow! I was promoted. That's amazing. I'm so excited. I don't know what to say.
I mean, at this point, it's 3 weeks in a row. Might as well. Do you want the job? Just kidding.
I
put you on the spot.
It's my dream. I started off as AJ's intern, and to work my way up through the Fantasy Six Pack family as an intern at various people. This is the dream come true. So thank you. Thank you
so much. There should be some Disney music playing in the background.
I was just testing you the other week when I bailed at 18-19 minutes. I wanted to see how well you could run on your own.
Right.
To see if this promotion was going to be worthwhile and continue on. And shocker, I was right.
So. And the thing is that you sent me that Bambi emoji and I didn't understand what it was until I realized that it was because Bambi, was kind of walking on his legs and was shaky, and then, Polly just grew into this amazing, grew into a deer. I don't know.
He was a baby deer that grew into an adult deer.
It grew to a butterfly deer.
Let me just touch on that for a second, because usually Bambi is known as a name you might hear in a fine steak establishment. That serves
like Golden Corral.
Like a Golden Corral.
Golden Corral.
I was thinking more of a Ponderosa, but Golden Corral will work as well.
An adult steak establishment.
Yeah,
sure, where we call it
like Chuck E. Cheese
steaks. Adult sized steaks.
What? Yeah. Sure.
What the hell did you think I was talking about?
AJ, we know what you're talking about. All right. Anyway, can we move on?
Bambi was a dude.
We got a lot to talk about tonight. So let's move on here. But before we go into that, let's do our beer of the week.
Beer.
All right, Zap. Oh, thanks, boy. Bringing out the big boy.
Whoa. Yeah, thanks for our sponsor, Tito's. I wrote them multiple letters, and they said, here, take this. Please leave us alone. So that to me says they still want me to write them. So Cheetos, if you're an Oakland A's fan, they're fantastic. And one more thing, what I love to pair Cheetos with is looking at the waiver wire, especially if you're looking for a shortstop. It makes all your choices look just that much better. Cheetos.
Fantastic. AJ.
All right. So I am drinking the Checker Spot Brewing's Got a Guy. And he's a dude that is a dude that looks like a dude in a pocket knife full of little tools and
stuff. Not gonna lie, when I first saw that, it looked like he was in a dude in a hot dog suit. And then I saw like the chip coming out the side. No,
it would be much more enjoyable unless you are a hot dog.
I thought it was a guy asleep in a canoe.
At Dollar Dog Night in Philadelphia earlier this week. In honor of the guy who can do it all, Steve Sanders, brewed with Cryo Amarillo, Centennial, and Idaho 7 hops.
Alrighty.
It's tasty. Right. And I am drinking this out of my new Dugout Mugs, brought to you by Dugout Mugs. It's a bat that you can drink beer out of.
The bat mugs, those are cool. I've seen those before.
Do you need in life? Well, a lawn
chair. You don't, but you bought it anyway because you're AJ.
Yes, and so I also have a Phillies regular dugout mug back there, and I have my water in this dugout mug. Go O's.
All righty. So I'm drinking Nepenthe. What is this? The Space Jellyfish IPA. I think this is the one you left me, AJ. So yes. I have not tried it yet, so let's figure it out.
You should do that because it's delicious.
Ooh, that is very, very good. Galaxy, Motueka, and Simoke.
Cheers, Simcoe. Jason.
Sorry.
Hey, Jason.
And let's jump into things here. You know, first let's cry a little together, guys. Man, it's been a week, and maybe not even a week, of injuries, man. And they've all hit the shortstop position, it feels like, badly. I mean, we got Correa, Seager, Orlando Arcia,
you're my boy,
Tim Anderson. I could go on, man. The shortstop position has just been absolutely obliterated. So much for that depth, right? I mean, good luck finding people in your league. There's not a whole lot out there still at this point. I don't know, man. It's been bad. I mean, can you ever remember a week like this where like one position has just been absolutely crushed within a short span of time?
No. Pitching?
I mean, no. Outside of a pitcher, like, right. I've never seen this before. And it's even the injuries that you're like, that's not so bad, right? Like Arcia, you know, he got hit. You're like, okay, well, bad bruise. And, you know, he kind of shook it off. Then he got off. And now he's having surgery and he's done. You're like, what is going on here? It's like everything has to be multiplied to the, you know, 10x.
Yeah.
And maybe they banned milk or some type of thing like in the dugout. I have no rhyme or reason behind this.
Yeah. These guys are going to need to wear like full body armor now at some point. Because this is so silly.
I don't know. What are the seeds? Sunflower seeds. That's it. I've never once in my life eaten sunflower seeds. So
if you have a starting shortstop on your team that hasn't been injured yet, that person needs to be under Secret Service, like watch. Like they need to like not let him walk out the door. They like carry him out onto the field and then carry him back in the dugout. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's brutal, man. And then just today, right? I mean, Jeffrey Springs. God. I mean, I'm not going to say the word, but I think we all know what's probably coming. You know, everybody on Twitter was like, it's just a blister. It's just a blister. It was not just a blister. No, this one's going to be bad. Unfortunately, it's going to be bad. So, Godspeed, Jeffrey Springs. You're probably out until 2025 at this point because you're probably not coming back next year. You know, if you do, it'll be like September.
And the thing
I hope I'm wrong, but it just doesn't seem good.
And the thing is that now I've gotten to the point of like, you know, scared kid syndrome where it's like, you know, Anthony Santander, right? They're like saying like, oh, it's not a big deal, is, you know, is what the manager says. And you're like, that's what they said about the last one, you know? And so like now I just don't trust anybody. I just assume everybody's going to go to the grocery store and get milk and not come back for 15 years like my dad. So, you know, it's kind of gotten to that point. I don't know. What is it? It feels like we're like 6 months into the season already and we have that many injuries. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, I haven't been absolutely destroyed by him yet. I mean, granted, it's one position. So how many leagues can you be in to be hit by like one major position? You know, I've gotten hit by Tim Anderson and Seager in like my seven leagues. So like, but that was two leagues combined. So it's like, all right, fine, I'll deal with it. But it still sucks. I mean, you know, thankfully I knew going in drafting Tim Anderson, I needed a pretty good backup plan. Sure. So I took one. But yeah,
it's not fun. Any one of my leagues that I have a maximum number of, you know, IL spots, especially four, all those leagues I'm filled.
Pretty much.
I mean, so it's not just a poor shortstop. It's all these things like, you know, the Kyle Farmer thing, you know, getting in the face. Like just, it just seems like I want to post my lineups in all my leagues so people just know that those people are probably going to get hurt. That's really what it's come down to.
You're not alone, man. Believe me, you are not the only one who's just like,
it's all about me.
I have. Me. Of course, it's about you. That's why we've got you here. See?
Thank you.
All right. Oh, that's phenomenal. For those of you not being able to watch on YouTube, AJ just changed his background to the crying. Oh, Chris, what the hell is his name?
James Vanderbeek. James, what's his name? I'm sorry.
How long ago was he relevant?
What?
The crying James Vanderbeek.
He's always relevant because it's always nice to be blues.
Correct.
Of course he is. AJ, you got to change that because you're gonna skip like crazy.
Sorry. I had to put it up
with
first.
The virtual background on. It's just terrible. As we have figured out. All right, let's jump into our buy low, sell high. And we're going to go. We're going to start with hitters here. And so we're going to do. What did I say we're going to do? Buy low first, right?
Hitter.
So,
oh, yes.
Yeah, hitters first, buy low. The first guy I have on the list here, and the way that I kind of did this was I kind of looked at batting average and then expected batting average. And not that that's like the tell all, but at least it kind of like tells you like, hey, this guy might be underperforming or overperforming just a little bit based off of a metric that has a what you're doing and what you should be doing, right? And it's just one way to go about it. There's numerous ways to do it, but this is one. And then you look at all the other stats and kind of make your decision. So Starling Marte is a guy who's batting .268 right now. Expected is .304. Hasn't really hit for power yet. Honestly, he's not running yet. It's kind of a weird thing with him. What are you expecting him to? Both of your screens just went away from me. Maybe it's my internet connection. Do you expect him to?
Yeah, I'm hardwired.
Yeah, I think we're good. Would you be buying in on Starling Marte?
AJ, you want to go first? Or
go first.
No worries. But here's the thing, right? The first part of that, what you said about him not running, that's the scary part, right? You know, his caught stealing went up.
I do see he does have four steals, but
yeah.
So maybe I'm lying just a little bit there.
Yeah, I just realized that too. But no, he's already caught stealing again. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, so he did 18 last year, caught stealing 9. I mean, everybody's stealing right now. I think Vargas is just stole some bases. I mean, I think catchers are stealing bases. But it all comes from that. But I mean, honestly, I want access to kind of buy low on the Mets offense. I think it's still kind of underappreciated. I still think that it's not there yet. I would like to get a piece of Starling Marte even before I looked at some of these stats that you had shown me with the spreadsheet. So definitely Starling Marte, to me, it was a buy.
Yeah, AJ, you got any
I'm good with trying to bounce off of Marte. I've kind of been that way for a few years, but I mean, this caught stealing with the pizza box bags, that's a little worrsome, but
yeah, I get it.
It's still early. What are we in? Barely in week two, and we've got 18 injuries of, you know, mass proportions to shortstops. Thankfully for Starling, he's not a shortstop. So, I mean, it's a powerful offense. You know, he's going to get some counting stats. I think I'm okay with trying to buy low on him, even though he is a mutt.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's like, you know, the BABIP's low for his standards. And I don't know, it just feels like he's not being as aggressive at the plate. Like, his strikeout rate is actually much, much lower, which I guess you want to say you like, but you almost want him to, like, start attacking pitches and getting on base more. He's just not doing anything. So, and, you know, his home run to fly ball rate is super low. And I mean, who knows? Maybe he's just hit that age where it's just like, it's just not going to be there. It could be the turning point for him, but I'm kind of buying into him being a cheap buy right now. And the next guy I've got on the list here is Schwarbaum, Kyle Schwarber. Batting average 188, expected 227. So, you know, nothing great. You're not loving 227, but it is an improvement. He does have three home runs on the year, but it's been a really slow start for him. Only six barrels. BABIP's 214. It's been kind of an ugly, like, yeah, he's got three bombs, but like, what the hell's happening over here? Like, it's been weird. It's like, if anybody's willing to sell Schwarber, I'm willing to take him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Fine.
I mean, let's look at what he did last year, right? He had a 218 batting average and 200 strikeouts. So you didn't exactly draft Schwarber expecting him to help you with your batting average. Now, the on base percentage.
You hope with the shift, you know, you expect it to go up, but yeah,
it's absolutely
the opposite direction somehow. But congratulations, you know, Schwarber.
But you did get him for, you know, the 46 bombs that he hit last year, you know, and the RBIs. I think Phillies right now are just in disarray to begin with.
And yeah, here we go. Connor. Connor Tomer, someone offered me Brandon Donovan and Jorge Soler for Schwarber today. I rejected it almost immediately. Yes.
Yes, as you should have.
Much as I like me some Brandon Donovan.
Yes. No,
thank you.
And well,
Donovan's... like Brandon Donovan. Has anybody seen that tweet where the umps are just like robbing him of strikes? Yes. They're way outside. He's just, he just turns and he's just like, what the hell?
Well, apparently, we're still in bases. The bases are bigger. And apparently the home plate for Brandon Donovan, the base is bigger too.
Yeah, apparently,
It's the entire batting box, both sides. And it's like, sorry, bro. That was clearly a strike.
Yeah, yeah, holy Holy Soler.
The catcher didn't even catch it. Hey, rules are rules.
He hasn't even thrown the pitch yet. And he called it strike.
What's that, Donovan? You want to get out of the game? All right. I mean, I agree with the Schwarber thing. And, you know, the one thing to keep in mind, too, last year he started off slow for Philly. And then he caught fire in June and hit, like, I don't know,
12 or 13
home runs.
Bombs in that month. Yeah, it was
absurd. So I'm all in on Schwarber, and I have him in a couple of leagues, and I'm just kind of taking the lumps right now, and you know, knowing that it's going to pay off.
Hoping you don't get too far behind. Yeah, I mean, June and July last year, he hit 22 bombs together, 12 and 10. It's like, okay.
I think I'm good with that.
Yeah, we'll survive with that.
Just this once.
Next guy here is MJ Melendez. Man, what a brutal start here. A lot of guys had him, me included, loved him coming into this season. He was one of my keepers in our league, guys, you know, both our leagues. Batting 190, expected is 270. I mean, that's a pretty drastic improvement, or at least it should be, right?
Right.
Only the one home run, striking out a ton at like 30, almost 40%. Like, yeah, it's pretty nasty for him. I mean, when he does make contact, though, it's like, I mean, it's hella contact, dude. Like, he's only has six barrels, but he only has how many hits? Eight, Six of his eight hits have been barreled. Right. If he just starts making contact, this dude's going to rake, right? So go after him. If somebody is, like, just off, it's going to be hard because it's catcher, and it's really hard to, like, buy catchers that have at least some sort of, like, history of performing well. But if somebody is like, whatever, I'm out, then absolutely go after an MJ Melendez. Of course, yeah.
Some of the other numbers that are just off the wall with AJ Melendez, right, is he hasn't hit opposite field at all. Like, his percentage is zero. Last year, he hit about 14%. So you knew he was using kind of a whole field. Now he's like almost 40% pull and 56% center. And that's kind of where the big issues are. His hard hit percentage is 65%, which is like 20% more than last year. And his exit velocity is like 97, which 90 was his exit velocity last year. So again, underlying numbers show that there's a lot of improvement coming, especially when he starts spraying the ball more consistently everywhere. But yeah,
Is crazy. It's like a bunch of reds, and then K percentage, chase rate, whiff, all like dark blue, and you're like, dude. But like, I feel like those are things that always him, though, are fixable. Yeah. Like, not striking out. Like, don't chase the ball. Like, just don't be an idiot. Just turn back into the hitter you were. But yeah, I really, if somebody wants to give up MJ, and I've got him in our league. Like, I said, I'm not selling. I'm holding out. Like, there's no way I'm trying to trade him right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be, I'd be interested in going after him, especially because catcher is such a crap position. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people that have him are probably like, oh, come on. This was like my go-to sleeper guy. And he's not panning out. Imagine that, a catcher that sucks. You don't jump on that if they're not willing to wait. Yeah, I mean it's easy money,
right?
All right, so that is it for the buy low players that I had listed. So let's jump over to some sell highs, and we're gonna start here with a Cincinnati Red, TJ Friedel, batting .350, but is expecting batting average is .185. Friedel, whatever.
I don't know. I'm just Fraggle because
TV. Fraggle Rock. Nice.
Yeah.
because Max Fried is Freed. So yeah, it's probably Friedel.
Yep. All right. So I mean, he's got two bombs. I mean,
yay.
I mean, it's just.
That's big.
Hey, I cannot quite figure out. I mean, it's BABIP's 444. This is clearly not happening, right? I mean, I don't know who would actually buy him off of you, but if you're in a league with a bunch of chumps, dangle him out there and see what happens. You never know.
Hey, I'm in 230 teamers, and I would go all over this guy just because anybody that's starting in any capacity, you try to grab in the 30.
Well, yeah, 30 teamers are a different story. Let's talk about what everybody else plays in.
That's not psychotic. No, yeah, he's playing out of his mind right now. Unless I saw something crazy about him that, like, you know, he figured out that, oh, he's left-handed, not right-handed this whole time, and, you know, he finally saw his birth certificate. Like, oh, yeah, I'm left-handed. I didn't realize that.
Other who was like, they got contacts, and they're like, oh, I can see the ball better. You're like, the hell have you been doing the last 20 years of your life?
Well, at the same time, you're like, really? You didn't know you had poor vision? That's amazing. But yeah, I mean, like, look, his strikeout percentages are off the charts right now, like, bad. You know, and he's doing everything kind of in line. The only thing he's not doing is not hitting fly balls, which is weird because you typically see kind of power numbers go up because you hit more fly balls. You know, he's spraying more to the middle, you know, center. But other than that, I mean, honestly, there's nothing I could find here that would be like, oh my God, yes, TJ is. No, yeah, I would absolutely. If anybody would give me any player of value for TJ, I would sell an RP. I'd be worried about him being on my lineup.
Yeah, so it's like the opposite for. It's like the opposite of Melendez when you look at the baseball savant page. It's all blue and then like a couple of reds. So you're like, no. I mean, average exit velocity is 17th percentile. No. Hard hit percent, 1 percentile.
Okay, well,
not happening.
So you said his exit velocity was what percentile?
The 17th percentile. Okay,
what do you think roughly that equates to like actual numbers in miles per hour? I mean, just give me a rough estimate. What do you think it is?
Probably like 97 something, 98.
76.5.
No way.
I was going to go with like 80, 82.
76.5.
Wait, what? No, I'm looking at exit velocity and it's 86.1.
No,
it's
I'm looking at his batted ball right now on Baseball Reference is 76.5.
I'm on Baseball Savant, so I don't know how they're
okay. Well, you know what? We should have a baseballreference.com and Savant fight. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't know why they're I think Fangraphs pulls in the Savant data now, but the Statcast data, but I don't know where, like, I don't know why they're different all over the place. And there's like sometimes it's duplicated on Fangraphs, you know, like,
okay,
it's complicated, you know, but anyway,
yeah,
yeah, you know, right? 76.5 is what you see at like a softball league, so that's so I was worried. So I'm glad that it's incorrect because I was very worried.
So I was really high and you were really low and it's somewhere in the middle maybe. So it's still bad. So nice sure, guy
we'll,
here.
We'll say it's above one. It's some number above one. So yes.
Sure. So another Cincinnati Red.
1.0.
Spencer Steer. Guy that, you know, young guy. Batting 306 right now, but expected batting average is 229. He's got two bombs. Striking out around a 30% clip. Walking quite a bit, so that's good to see. So, like, you know, at least he's gonna get on base, right? I'm looking at Brian Anderson. 17.1%.
Wait, what?
My bad. 17.1% K percentage first year, 12% walk rate. There's actually really good numbers for those two stats.
Right.
Babbitt's at 333. I mean, he's not really barreling the ball only 10% of the times. I'm assuming that's a lot to do with the expected batting average being a lot lower. What are you doing with him? I have him in the sell category, but I mean, I can be convinced otherwise.
So this is going to be the first one where I disagree. I am buying Spencer Steer and where I have him, like, I'm keeping him. I value him quite a bit.
Lot more dynasty league. So what about like in a redraft league?
In a redraft league, again, depending on, you know, how deep your benches or things of that nature, I would still be keeping him. This is a second year player who came in with a bit of fanfare, was destroying the minor leagues. And I just, you know, only had 28 games before that. And you just need to look at some of his minor league data to see a professional hitter. I just don't think that with all the fanfare that he had coming in and the absolute destruction that he did, he came from Minnesota, you know, went to Cincinnati, which is a hitter's ballpark, much better park than Minnesota is. I like Spencer Steer. The profile is not great. The numbers don't look good, but I'm still buying in on everything else I saw spring training and again in the minors and his long track record.
Yeah, I wanted to bring him up because I knew you were a fan of his and I kind of wanted to get your take on him.
You just wanted me to squirm, right? You were like, oh.
No, it's for a good show. AJ, I mean, I don't know if you got anything to say about him or if I should move on to
the next guy because I've got some things to say about him.
Of course you do. So Bryson Stott, batting 420, expected batting average 284, no bombs, strikes out 23% of the time, walks 2% of the time. No barrels. Three steals. So I guess that's cool. But what are you doing with this guy? I mean, he's a big sell high for me. Like, I feel like some people are like, oh, yeah, he's getting a base. He's scoring some runs, blah, blah, blah. Like,
He also has a 13-game hit streak, which he just finagled after going 0-4 tonight. He came up and he bunted. And got on base.
Good work.
So he preserved because he's a smart player. I say that kind of in jest, but he is. He sat behind Gene Segura last year, and they really developed a good, you know, friendship and working relationship. And I think he learned a lot from Segura. And they've just faced off against each other this week, and Segura got the better hand. So I think that just looking at Stott from last year too, towards the end of the season when he was really getting more frequent at bats, he's very patient. Yeah, he doesn't necessarily walk, but
it's funny because
he gets on base
2% of the time.
What's that? I know
he's a good contact hitter.
He makes contacts. He fights off a ton of pitches, and it, you know, he eventually gets on base. So
yeah.
I'm a little biased.
I hate to do this because, well, you know, agreeing with AJ, I know might get me off the show and I'll not be invited back. But Stott was a buy for me because he had such a hot end to his season last year. And it looked like he really kind of figured it out. I don't know kind of who the real Stott is, but I bought him pretty much everywhere. He struggled so bad in the first half of that season that he had to have kind of the breakout that he had the second half of the season just to end up with the mediocre numbers that he did for the entire season.
Yeah, I remember
that. I think it was like 116 in the month of May or something, just something nuts.
Yeah, he was
good to start. I think the whole Phillies team, you know, is kind of underperforming.
Started off pretty slow.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I still, if I could buy Stott, you could buy him cheap. And if I'm season long, especially considering how decimated, and depending on what kind of position they're giving you, depending on your league rules, et cetera. I mean, Stott is multi-position, you know, eligibility in some leagues. I would definitely still be picking him up at kind of this low dollar price and see what you have here in the next 2 weeks, because you know, there's two different Stotts that are still out there that could back up either play that he's going to regress or that he's going to be amazing. And, you know, I think he's worth the flyer.
Yeah. And worst case, if he you get him and he shows up, great. He helps you out. Okay. But then if he starts fading, you cut him and you're not going to really lose much sleep over it.
And hopefully you didn't give up a lot for him, which I assume at this point shouldn't. Although, I mean, batting 420, somebody's not, I don't think anybody's going to give him up for the cheap. That might be the problem. You're going to be like, all right, I mean, hey.
I mean, but he's got that shortstop eligibility in a lot of platforms. So people might be picking him up just as a plug-in there until their guy comes back. And they're like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, so this guy's kind of hit and he's playing well. I mean, I tend to look at, you know, the what have you done for me lately scenario of changing to the last 7 days or the last 14 days. You know, it's a little hard at this point because it's the entire season or 7 days. But, you know, as the season goes on, I look at those trends to see who's gotten hot and who can help me in certain categories and whatnot. And I think Stott's one of those guys. The other problem for him is Rob Thompson needs to figure out what the hell he's doing with the lineup. You know, he's changed the lineup, I think, every single game so far. Whereas last year,
they're missing a ton of players. So,
there's lots of injuries that they're dealing with. I mean, it's kind of a mixed bag right now. But, you know, with the way that Schwarber's hitting and knowing that he's a bad, you know, starting player in the early season, drop him in the lineup. I mean, if you offend him, you offend him, but he's such a good clubhouse guy. Like, I don't think he's going to. Yeah, I think maybe it will, because he was so used to just hitting leadoff last year, and then it's like, sorry, bro, Trey Turner's here. You're going to take a seat.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have moved Stott up to second when I can't remember if it's lefties on the mound or whatever, but Thompson's got to stop fucking with the lineup, basically.
So the next guy I had was Arcia, and then obviously the injury came out today, and it was like, all right, never mind. So we'll skip that one. So, but I'm gonna throw one at you guys that wasn't on the list, and that's Isaac Paredes, Tampa Bay Rays, batting .308, expected batting average is .215. We know this guy's not an on base guy, you know, in his history, but I mean, the Rays are raking right now, including Paredes, 3 home runs. I mean, only striking out 22% of the time. I don't have the other stats up, but it feels like a career low. I mean, like, he's – every time you turn around, the Rays are hitting home runs, and you're like, where did this come from? I mean,
Yeah, they were down today, and then Diaz is like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, they almost lost because Springs got knocked out, and you were like, oh, well, there they go. Yeah. But, like, it just – they let up a bunch of runs, too, but – they scored just more. That's not typically the Rays, which is weird. So, so what do we do with a guy like Paredes who's on this team and getting a ton of playing time, which I don't think I personally expected.
Did not start today, though.
Yeah, so the pro and con here, right, is like just like in Vegas, you always want to ride the hot streak. The problem is it's the Rays. And what I mean by that is I never know who they're starting. That's the problem where I have getting prospects for the Rays, because I don't know if they're going to turn an outfielder into a pitcher, or suddenly they're going to turn the shortstop into a catcher or something weird. Like, I mean, look, it's great.
Awesome.
Right? It's great in real life, but unless you have like the Francos of the world who aren't going to move off shortstop, or maybe they move in the third, whatever, but like he's always in the lineup beyond, you know, those types of superstars. Like the Paredes of the world, I mean, yes, he's hitting, and I want a piece of that Rays kind of hot streak for cheap. It'd be great, but I don't know if he's starting this week, or is he going to only be a lefties? I can never
guess
that.
Here's a weird stat. How many times have you seen somebody have less barrels than home runs on the season? Because Paredes does.
Yeah.
He has 2 barrels to 3 home runs. I just noticed that and was like,
goddamn anomaly. Like,
that's so weird.
I want to see what the home run looked like that he didn't hit with his barrel. Like, I want to see what kind of home run that was. Like,
he teed it off the bottom.
They turned on the AC in the trop, like right when he hit it.
Yeah.
It just
blew out. Yeah.
He bunted it.
Yeah. That's bizarre.
The thing is that,
and I'm looking at like all the rest of them, and I don't see anybody who's got that. So that one's just, I'm kind of glad I wrote just randomly threw him in here because that's a bizarre stat.
Like Paredes has been in a lot of my, even my shallow leagues where I was, season long, where last year, especially when I was getting hit by injuries, I mean, he had 20 home runs. He had a .304. Now, in batting average leagues, I didn't touch him because he was right around like the Mendoza line the entire year. But you know, if you need somebody who's just going to give some counting stats and can maybe play a bunch of different positions, Paredes is always a kind of a good filler. But yeah, he's not this guy. I mean, right now none of the Rays are playing like, I mean, they're just out of their minds. Franco, I have Franco in a lot of leagues, and I'm really excited to see who Franco is, because we haven't figured that out the last couple of years with all the injuries.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a second. I want to ask.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I don't know who anybody is right now. I think they're all out.
I want to ask about one last guy who I have currently listed as a sell high, just by the stats. Not that I totally agree with it. Just the stats kind of say this is somebody who we should talk about in this category. Miles Straw, batting .308, expected batting average .232. Is leading the league in steals. I think he's tied with Jorge Mateo at 7. I don't know. So this is, these are yesterday's stats. So today's games don't count in the stats that we have, by the way, just to let you guys know. I pulled them this morning. But he's walking 18% of the time, which is something you want somebody like Miles Straw to do. He's not a power hitter. He's never going to be. Like, let's be real. Yeah. Striking out 20% of the time, not terrible. If he can get on base at a .449 clip like he's doing right now, he's going to steal 80 bags.
Right.
So, like, do you give up on that, thinking that that's going to regress?
Right.
Or are you just going to hold and just reap the benefits of him getting on base a ton and stealing?
So we talked about Miles Straw. I can't remember if it was the last show or the show before, that somebody who needed to be pushed, and they brought in Will Brennan, and it looked like Miles was like, nope, I'm not letting you play. And he just played out of his mind.
Yeah, I think that was right before I dipped out.
Maybe, 2 weeks ago. Hey,
that might have been.
That was our Emmy award-winning show. I still remember that.
This is the last Miles straw for me.
AJ, that's going to be the one that I submit to the FSWA for our awards because you weren't there.
And it'll still be up, and everybody will be like,
and it'll probably not win.
It'll be your villain origin story. I still remember that day. But yeah, so, you know, I don't know, because we've seen him in Houston, right? Houston kind of gave up on him. He had such an amazing, you know, prospect pedigree. He was going to, you know, be this guy who hit and stole. And for a while there, he wasn't getting on base, right? He did, especially in 2020 when he was like something ridiculous. He couldn't get on base. They were like, well, why don't you learn to bunt drag? And everybody was kind of like, okay, well, if you do that, we'll just stack the box. Well, now that they can't mess around with the fielding, he really is a guy who's just like Jorge Mateo. He's just so fast. Stop trying to swing the ball. Just get on base. Like with Jorge Mateo, when he was with the A's, I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? Just figure it out. Stop trying to hit bombs. You're not that guy. And look, you don't get Straw for his hitting. You get him for his stolen bases. If you can pick up your lineup and make it in such a way that you can make up for his batting average, then you have Straw on your team. But for any other reason, no.
Points leagues.
Yeah, especially points leagues.
I've got him in an OBP league, and I picked him up. I was just, right. I got an injury and was like, whatever, click. You know. I've played him like twice out of the five games I've had him. He's on my bench a lot, but whatever. There's not much out there that's pretty deep league. So
he still does have six steals because Cleveland did not play today. So
I thought, have six.
Well, even on the Cleveland offense, no, actually.
Tied with now then?
No, I looked at the MLB.com page, and they said they gave Straw a stolen base today, even on his off day, because he was so fast. So I guess it's a bonus steal. So look at that.
On his off days, he actually works for Papa John's, and he delivers pizzas. So he stole somebody's pizza.
Well, there you go.
And there was a pizza, and he was like,
He's actually lactose intolerant. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, that's what it is. So he's tied for the major league lead with Acuna because Mateo doesn't actually qualify.
He doesn't have enough plate appearances?
Apparently not. That's silly because that dude started the season on fire.
He still has.
Mateo was like number one in fantasy for that first week, wasn't he? He had like home runs and RBIs.
Mateo has six, but he stole a base today, so now he's got seven. So it didn't get counted on Fangraphs yet. Mateo's still batting .313. I mean, I know he's got two bombs. That's, you know, he might hit 10, but whatever. Yeah. That guy, if he can get regular playing time, could easily hit 50 stolen bases this year. I feel like that's crazy that they're not playing him enough.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, Depp, you had mentioned a guy that you wanted to touch on here, and that is Mr. Nolan Gorman.
Nolan Gorman is a guy I tried to just put on top of almost every trade in the offseason. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll give you this pitcher and Nolan Gorman, and you give me this guy. And nobody would touch him. I was selling him everywhere. He is out of his mind. I mean, he hit another stolen base. I mean, the thing is that when you see players like this, you say, okay, is it a statistical anomaly or is there something to actually point at? Nolan Gorman spent the offseason, and I said this was the last show, I just can't believe he's still being so amazing about it. He focused on changing his swing to hit high fastballs. He had a big hole in his swing there, and it's paying off. I mean, just... Look, he looked like he was a part-time hitter. It's the Cardinals. They're so deep. They have, like, you know, another 25 Nolan Gormans in the minor leagues. You can't bench this guy right now. He's hitting everything, like video game numbers. And I would start him wherever I could. It's just nuts right now. So I don't care what the statistics say, Although I think right now it only shows like expected batting average going down a little bit.
Yeah, that's the one other thing. It's not enough though. Like it's not enough to like make me go panic mode on him.
Yeah, but I just expected panic that mode, number.
It's
yeah, I just expected that number to be much lower. I expected something to show me like, oh yeah, jump off this bandwagon. But nope, I need some more. I need more Nolan Gorman. My God.
Yeah, I picked him up in a couple of different leagues. He was sitting there on the waiver like after the first few games, and I was
first
like,
few, yeah.
I mean, my second base position in most of my leagues sucks, like most people. And I was like, yeah. Gorman's sitting there. He's got second base eligibility. I'll take the gamble. Thank you.
Yeah, dude,
it's working out pretty well for me.
Especially I was rolling Adam Frazier, and then now all of a sudden he's like not playing every day. I'm like, it was more for the outfield, but.
All right, so let's jump into a guy who you mentioned earlier, Dap, and that's Wander Franco. And these are the guys who, you know, they're starting off hot, they've got some pedigree, or they've got some history, or they're starting off really cold, and, you know, but we know who they are, and we expect them to be better. But, like, what do we do with these guys? So Wander Franco is one of those guys who has had the pedigree. He's always been supposed to be the guy. Like, he was a number one prospect for, you know, for a while there. And it just never worked out. Injuries have kind of stalled his progress. This year, man, he is starting off much like, just like we said, a lot of these Rays players, just on fire. 340 batting average. Expecting batting average only 267. Fine. I mean, you'll deal with it. Four bombs, though? Like, nobody expected that from Franco. Not like this.
Yeah.
He's not striking out. Although he's also not walking. He's just hitting the crap out of the ball. Let's put it that way. Seven barrels on the year. He also has added, I got to scroll just a tad, three stolen bases. Yep. I mean, is this a guy that if somebody is, like, would you sell him at all? Like for any reason at this point? I mean, knowing that obviously like the position is just getting slaughtered. He might be next because he's also an injury prone player. So,
and we're talking about him.
Yes.
What's his name? Wander Franco. Whoops. Sorry.
AJ just said it. So it's gone.
He's done.
He put the,
where's
put
Jobu? The, yep.
Put the voodoo doll in. Dad's missing this.
Smoke up, Jobu. Smoke up.
Sorry.
Well, before AJ just jinxed him.
I didn't do nothing.
All right, yes, you did, AJ. Thing. You know exactly what you did. You suck.
A baseball thing.
I mean, the thing is that there's nothing that he's doing right now that we didn't forecast that he could do on the high end for what he had done in the minors, right? He was stealing bases. Yes, his cost ceiling was high, but I mean, his OBP was like 400 in the minors, and his slugging percentage was like at 500 sometimes and higher. He just needed to stay healthy. He was always destroying the baseball in all the levels that he was at. He was the original kind of can't miss prospect, but he just kept getting hurt. And am I going to sell him? No, because you can't play scared in fantasy. You can't gamble scared. You can't play scared in fantasy. You just can't. If you're going to be constantly worried about somebody getting hurt, at a certain point, you're going to hit a tier of player and it's like, okay, but he's a Ferrari and I'm going to play him for as long as I can. And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. But you know what hurt me more is if I sold him for an absolute Brinks truck worth of like value. And then he just took off even more. He hit another level. I don't want that to happen to somebody else that I am competing against. I want it to happen on my team. Look, there's the IL spots for a reason, and this is the type of gamble they're willing to take with a high-end player like this who's showing his high-end ability. There's not a single thing here that, you know, the stolen bases we knew were going to come, especially with the new, you know, base
rules.
And the home runs aren't cheap either that he's hitting up there. He's not hitting cheapies.
He's smashing.
So, I mean, he's hitting
this whole Rays team. It's like they went into this season going, hey, we've been messing with everybody for the last 15 years. Well, we figured out launch angle this offseason all of a sudden. It's like, what? Where did this come from?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I remember we had this conversation. We had conversations about Franco, Adames, and and I forget there was one other guy right in that mix in the shortstop range of drafts with you, me, Dave, and Jason on Slack. Many drafts. Like it was always like, man, we like which one do I take? And Dave one time was like, F it, I'm going Wander. And I was like, okay. Now, Adames wouldn't have been a bad pick, but Franco has been crushing it. So he was right there. I hope he just stays healthy. That was always kind of the issue. It's like Franco definitely had the higher ceiling of all those guys we talked about. It was just – it's just a risky play. And good to him for finally going in on it. I mean
– But with that lineup, I mean, you he's going to score runs. He's going to have RBIs. I mean, it's not like he's in a wasteland like we all thought it might be-ish. You know, like, it's the pitching that matters in Tampa, and we just hope they'll score enough runs. Apparently, they're just like, no, we're playing in Colorado. Just everybody thinks, they virtual reality themselves that they're playing in Colorado every day.
Well, and they still have their pitching, so it doesn't matter.
Well, of course, so. That doesn't work.
They're gonna have like a 300-plus run total here, so it's going to be nuts.
Actually, did you – I don't know if you just saw this tweet. They are actually on – right now, they are on pace to go undefeated for the season. So,
I mean, book it. Let's put the bets in Vegas. Let's do it.
Done.
AJ, let's skip over to the other guy here, man. You want to ask about the number 7 player here on the sheet?
I guess still have it open. Is that Mr. Hayes? Is that where we're going?
No, we skipped that one. Number 7 on the sheet. Trying to throw you a bone.
7 on the sheet. Oh, is it freaking Wheeler?
Oh my gosh! No, never mind.
I don't know where
the actual spreadsheet. Never mind. The actual spreadsheet with all the stats. So Jared Kelenic.
Yeah, Jared Kelenic.
It's the one that.
We're still talking hitters.
Yes.
Got it.
Jared.
He was Welcome not highlighted earlier. For reference, he was not highlighted earlier.
He's number 7. He's on the
I literally tried to make it as easy as possible because I knew I didn't have him highlighted, AJ. I knew I didn't have him highlighted. So I said number 7 on the sheet.
Send this show in.
Okay. So number 7 on the sheet.
Right here. This
Justin Steele. Speaking of porn names. All right. That's one of them.
So Jared Kelenic, right? Everybody has completely tried to. I'm just trying to help. You know, everybody wants, like, you have the two camps. You have the people that, like, want to believe, and the people that are like, he's going to hurt me. I'm not doing it, right? Like, those are the only, there's no in between with Jared.
Yeah, right? No, there is no in between. You're right.
No.
Yeah. And look, I don't like seeing anybody that's a top prospect just being decimated unless they play for the Yankees. I'm hoping, but again, he is destroying the ball. It's not, again, cheap, like home run, like, oh yeah, it's wind aided or something like that. He is killing it. And on top of that, like, his strikeouts are not bad. Pre-show, I told you, I was like, man, I really want to look at how many strikeouts he has, right? He has 11 strikeouts with 37 at bats. And it's not even that outside of his realm of what he was doing in the minors when he was destroying the minors, not just hitting well, killing it. Yeah, that's solid. Well within
it's
realm.
Pretty
yeah,
high, well but it's not.
It's higher, but it's not like it's crazy not for him. It's
right.
That's where he's been. So, I do like Kelenic. I actually was torn between going with him or Brandon Marsh the other day as a plug-in for outfield. I ultimately took Marsh.
Homer,
but. it was a bit of a homer pick, and they were talking about him on the radio that morning, so I was a little swayed, but I do like Kelenic. I think this is, you know, where we were hoping he would be. Again, the K's are within, you know, his usual.
His baseball savant page is just like all reds. It's absolutely insane. He's smashing it right
already.
Now. I mean, look, let's be real. These guys, we're talking about like former top prospects. He was one of them. We see them sometimes take a few years. You know, it happens with some of these guys.
Yeah.
You gotta remember that he's still only 23. So like he came in early.
Yeah.
And it just didn't click for him right away.
Right.
Maybe it's just something's clicking. I'm willing to take a gamble on him if you can get him, you know, in a pretty decent deal. I'm not going to sell. I'm not going to buy like the highest possible value. I know there's some people out there that are like, oh, you want him? You got to go get him. No, then you can keep him. Like, have fun. Right. But hey, you want to give me for, you know, a fair value, then I'm willing to do it. And, you know, we've already talked about a couple of trades on our Discord channel involving him. So if you guys want advice for any trades involving Kalinic or any of these guys, like just jump in, become an All Access member, and we'll help you out with some of these trades for sure. Because it really does matter with who you're trading and type of leagues and things like that. But let's jump over to pitchers. We'll try to rip through these a little bit faster because I know we're kind of running long. But start with our sell highs here. And Mr. Fastball Freddy Peralta, 0.75 ERA, expected 3.06, still good. Peralta's a guy who, like, he had an amazing season, like, two seasons ago. Last year was atrocious. This year, he's really good again. Which player are we going to get here, and which one are you believing in?
So, during our team previews, I said I wanted Freddie. I just want to hope that Freddie was going to stay healthy. I wasn't worried about kind of performance. I was more worried about health. Do I think he's, you know, this good? Probably not. But, you know, Corbin Burnes, Freddie Peralta, I thought that was an amazing 1-2 combo, although Burnes was not so pretty last start. But Peralta definitely is still an ace. It was always his health. Again, don't think he's this good, but I definitely think he's top shelf. I definitely think we're looking at a top 30 starting pitcher, no problem. You know, click, you know, put him in every time, matchup proof. But, you know, this always has me concerned that, you know, there's something there. I'm more worried about velocities with him, right? If that starts showing me anything that could show me maybe we're having an issue with his health. But right now, just going to ride the wave with Freddie because I bought him in a lot of places where I could. Definitely kind of a mid-round pick and hoping just to ride it out as much as I can, like a Wander Franco type of situation where I got to hope that he stays healthy.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of Freddie Peralta for a while. Last year hurt. I bought him early last season in a lot of leagues and got burned by pretty bad. So I didn't jump back in this year. I'm kind of regretting that, but I've always been a fan of his game. And yeah, again, the health is the issue there. So
yeah. So speaking of Freddie, I mean, let's flip the script a bit here and go with, did we already talk about buy low pitchers? Am I missing that now too?
I skipped it for some reason. So we'll do that next. Sorry. Because the top of the list had Freddie. So when I'm looking at the sheet here, you're looking at the wrong sheet. I'm only looking
at the sheet. No, I'm looking at the right sheet this time. Pitchers. The one I was looking at last time.
All right. I was wrong. What,
hey, number seven.
Get rid of the last clip. This is the clip we send in to the award show. Okay. So forget the last. This is the clip right here. This is the one I want.
All right. So are we sticking with sell high? Because I'm just going to go off the rails here per use. And talk about Freddie P's teammate, Mr. Corbin Burnes. I mean, he's definitely a buy low candidate right now. He's got...
Mike hates us right now, by the way.
Suck it, Mike. This is what you get for being busy at work.
You're fine.
He's fine.
Okay.
Mike's just sitting in the room of clouds and smoke and fire and just being like, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Sure. Okay. Corbin Burnes. Hey, let's do it.
Burnes. Well, hold on. Before we go to Burnes, we do have a question in the chat I thought was interesting. Real quick, two, three gentlemen. Anthony Volpe for Max Muncy. Would you drop Anthony Volpe for Max Muncy?
Yes.
Is it Volpe? I'm sorry. Is it Volpe?
I don't know.
Oh, it is Volpe. That's right. I'm sorry. I remember the video now. Volpe?
Yeah, I would actually. He's had a slow start. Batting average isn't quite where he was or where you're expecting it to be for him. But he's starting to come around. Gotten a little hot here, hit a few bombs. I wouldn't be shocked, and we actually mentioned this last week. And then like a couple tweets came out randomly like a day later about how Volpe's struggling and Peraza is doing really well in the minors, right. And how like right. I think they're going to swap soon. I really do think it's going to happen. Now, could Volpe come in, you know, in July after he gets a couple months back in the minors and then right. crush? Sure, but at that point, whoever you're trading him to is probably dropped him by that point, because I don't Volpe's not, it's just not working right now.
So is this like a shortstop for shortstop drop? And we're talking Max Muncy, the shortstop of Oakland, who's still in the minors. This is a dynasty league, or are we?
He's talking about the Dodgers,
LA.
it's a but yeah, no, I think the thing is here, yeah, right?
Trying to
is
play that stupid on purpose?
I know he was. But I think the thing is, Max Muncy is not going anywhere. Even if he doesn't hit, the Dodgers are going to allow him to hit out of whatever it is.
They do it every time. Anthony, so
right, well,
exactly.
Right.
Awful. You know, yeah, that he's going to have the playing time. he's the better long-term option this season right now.
He's got second base eligibility, which is a horrible position anyway.
Exactly.
So you can't,
and the
you
Yankees can't have, that. I think, 67 shortstop prospects. So they can put anybody in there at any time. Yeah. So, yeah, I would drop that all day. All
right, tell them to share them with the league. I mean, all the injuries. I mean,
well, yeah, find some sucker that's got three shortstops all injured and needs somebody, and then
find a Yankees fan.
Don't even drop them. Just trade them for Clayton Kershaw or somebody.
So get Max Muncy and then trade Volpe. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that, guys.
All right. Corbin Burnes, you had a question, AJ. Apparently that's where we're
going. Did I have a question or was I talking?
Do we ever
know? The same thing. That is a question. Yes, Corbin Burnes sitting at a 519 right now, is expected a 313. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I feel like he's going to figure it out. He's a very good pitcher, and he's shown it. So, what do you guys think about Burnes? Are you all in on the buy low? I mean, is he really a buy low because of what people invested in him draft wise? That's the bigger question. Like, if you go into somebody and be like, "Oh, hey, I'm gonna give you, you know, Max Muncy for
no," Corbin the answer Burnes. Would be no. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to give up a little bit for Burnes still. Like, the name value is gonna carry. The last two seasons of domination is gonna carry over. The early season struggles are probably going to scare some people off. And, I mean, there's a lot of people who are speculating there might be some injuries like that, because he just doesn't look right. He really doesn't. The K per 9 rate, 7.2.
Woodruff, which sucked, because he was supposed to start for
K per 9 rate, 7.27, down from 12 2 years ago to 10 last year. It's not good. I mean, I would still take a chance on him, you know, maybe hoping you can give up like your, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round pick for somebody like Burnes, and maybe like that would do it. I don't know. It's tough to say. Like, every league is different, obviously, and I know that's like a cop out answer, but I am still trying to buy into the pedigree of Corbin Burnes and expecting him to bounce back.
Yeah, I wouldn't sell Corbin Burnes anywhere again.
I wouldn't, but
I mean, considering what you had to pay for him to get him, right? You're willing to wait, at least give him a month or two, right? Yeah. And if he's injured, I mean, if you're a doctor, then awesome. But I mean, the way he's gripping that ball, or just look at one of the Twitter doctors that are out there. But
I was going to say, I got a Twitter degree, JP. Don't you be talking.
My WebMD degree outweighs your Twitter degree all day, every day.
So short of an injury, though, I think Corbin Burnes has shown that he can work his way in and out of these funks. I mean, 30-plus starts still to go. So you have 28 more starts to go. Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I mean, I'm concerned. I'm not worried. Whatever the lead is concerned more than worried or less, I don't know. But I'm at like a 4 or 5 right now. Yes, it's a former word. Thank you. I'm at a 4 or 5 on a 10 scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what is bounce back and forth here? You can do the buy lows. I'll do the sell highs, apparently, AJ, because it's fun that way. Jack Flaherty. This guy looking good for Fantasy League so far, at least from the ERA standpoint, 1.76. However, 5.25 expected ERA. You're looking at some stats here, and he's got 13 strikeouts in 15.1 inning pitch. Not what you want, but not horrible.
It's a horrible
go over to the walks. That's
pretty shitty.
Yeah,
he's got 14 walks. Yep. He's got more walks than strikeouts.
And don't forget, he leads the league in walks. So
yeah. So,
wait, are we talking
big red flag?
Walker,
I mean, like, I guess, Jack, you know, Flaherty, he's coming off an injury. Right. He did, I think he pitched today, actually. So, how did he do today? Because those stats clearly don't include today.
It's horrible.
Does it work the same with him? Does he get like a walk?
He pitched yesterday. Just kidding. He pitched yesterday. Yeah.
So
the not stats. Great. So the stats did include.
Our sound.
He pitched better yesterday. He really did. I mean, maybe
that changes everything.
Maybe him coming off an injury.
Oh, I'm all in now.
Velocity is starting to climb, and I noticed that the walks weren't. He only walked one batter last night, 6 strikeouts. So maybe there's some improvement there, but I don't know, man. Something tells me like the doubt is still there in my mind on Flaherty. Yeah. What about you?
It's Jack Flaherty.
So if anybody from my fantasy leagues is listening in, I love Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty is amazing because I have him in a couple places. He was like my second or third, second or third last pick. You know, I was like, oh, Cardinals, maybe he'll bounce back.
Yeah,
but the thing is that, you know, everything else on his page, yes, the walks are insane, but everything else shows he's a terrible pitcher as well, right? The whip from last year is about 1.6-ish, and this year is about 1.5 already. So that's well and well in line, right? I think the reason why he's able to strike people out is because they don't know where the ball's going to go, and neither does he. So, you know, you have kind of that tendency, kind of like Randy Johnson early in his career, right, where he just kind of like let it fly. Now, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form Flaherty has the speed or the stuff, but it's kind of that thing of like, well, I don't know where the ball's going. Neither does the hitter, the catcher. You know, so they're just going to swing at it. And sometimes I guess he's bored sitting there with the bat on his shoulders. Sell Flaherty. If you can get any value for him, do it now. He's going to torch your pitching.
Anything better than on your waiver wire is what you mean by that. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay. Hold up. Who wins in a battle between Cardinals of Jack Flaherty and batter's box Brandon Donovan? With his usual umps.
Wow. Well, because apparently the umps hate Brandon Donovan, so I'm going to say Flaherty. I thought you were going to ask me between Flaherty and Mikolas. I was like, ooh.
All right.
I mean, Mikolas can stand behind and, like, break the back of the dugout. I don't know. Not dugout, sorry. Pitcher's mound.
I think Flaherty pitching at Mikolas as a hitter. Like, if Mikolas was the hitter and Flaherty had to pitch at him, he would still walk him. That's the situation. Like, I don't even trust Flaherty to strike out a pitcher. So if you're the guy that decides that you have a one outer in Texas Hold'em and you're going to go all in and, you know, you win that, then hey, you want more power to you. You got more courage than I do. And Flaherty might be a great guy for strikeouts. I don't want any part of him. And sadly, I have a lot of pieces of him because I picked him up late. So this is my Flaherty Excedrin headache.
Tito's vodka. Drink a lot of it.
Tito's, when you own Flaherty.
Drink out of a bat.
All right. Next up, AJ.
All right. We're going back to the buy low. I guess I'll go with the homer pick this time and go with Mr. Zach Wheeler. Sitting at a 402, his expected is a 293.
Yeah.
I again, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Phillies. I agree. Thank you, Connor. I think with Zach Wheeler, I think of the ace pitchers that the Phillies have, him and Nola, he's still more of the ace. Nola looks like absolute trash this year compared to Wheeler.
Never trusted Nola.
The funniest thing I saw today, and this is a total sidebar, was on Facebook, and it was a picture of like the awards for all the Phillies, and it's like, you know, JT Realmuto has got his Silver Slugger Award, his Golden Glove Award, and his all MLB first team. You got Schwarbs with a Silver Slugger and I think a second team all MLB. Someone else was in there with Trey Turner was in there with a Silver Slugger and first team all MLB. And then there's Aaron Nola just like, and he's got second team all MLB. And it's like, yeah, one of these things is not like the others. Anyway, I'm still buying Wheeler. I think that he is the better pitcher. I mean, he is the best starting pitcher that the Phillies have. And he's got the pedigree. He's got the prospect hype way back when from being a dirty mutt. And, you know, injuries is just the biggest thing that sticks with him. So is he worth buying low knowing some point he's likely to miss some time, you know, with at least one DL-15? He's, or IL-15, whatever.
I mean, last season he did get banged up, but I mean, the season before he hasn't really been hurt in four out of the last five seasons. So
been more durable. Yes.
Yeah.
But again, last season cropped back up. I just think that it's something that's going to come with age. I mean, he's 33 years old, so yeah, he's still in his prime, I guess, for pitching, but kind of on that downslope. You know,
I'll say this real quick, and then Dab can jump in. But Wheeler has always been a slow starter. Mm-hmm. His career ERA in March and April is almost a half a run higher than every other. Than his worst other month, and last year it was even worse. It was like in the fives. He's just a slow starter, in my opinion. So, like, if you can take advantage of that with somebody in your league who doesn't really realize that, I'm all in, because I think May's gonna hit. It gets warmer and somehow he gets better. So go for it. Go get him.
Cold
while taps, you can.
Cold arm.
I guess. Usually it's cold and the ball doesn't fly, but sure, whatever.
Exactly.
The thing is that if you look at, you know, his batting against kind of numbers, other than the on-base percentage, everything's kind of within his career stats this year. And you stole my thunder, because I was going to say that. He's a slow start. He was a slow starter last year because I was – no,
somebody else like that sounds smart.
Are you, though?
Smarter than you sometimes.
I literally would bite my nails off because I was like, oh, my God, I just spent, you know, this first two-round pick on Wheeler and – you know, he's doing what he's doing. The thing is, again, is the whole team is just, I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, you're looking at Zach Wheeler, who is without a doubt a top 10 starting pitcher. So you paid a lot for him, again, like Corbin Burns, who could legitimately be a top three tier pitcher. I mean, sorry, top three pitcher with the strikeouts and allowed to go deep into games. You know, he's typically always hitting seven innings when he's healthy. And again, we expected the Phillies to win a lot of games as well. So I could not see myself selling him. But yes, there is worry there. Again, you know, is he injured or something like that? But the whole team is doing terrible. Don't even get me started on the bullpen. I'm going to give it a couple weeks. It's one of those things where I would keep him in my starting lineup and I wouldn't even look at what he did. And I would just look like, I would see what he did and just be like, okay, you know, he's just gotta be a starter.
All right. So I'm gonna jump into the last one here for the sell high. A guy who, you know, maybe not getting a lot of fanfare, but has pitched pretty well. Brad Keller of the Royals, 2.12 ERA, 16 strikeouts in 17 innings. He does have, you know, a bit of a walk issue with 8. I don't know. His expected ERA, though, is 5.08. So something's got to give here with him. I mean, Brad Keller is going to turn into a pumpkin soon, I would imagine, right? But if somebody is willing to, you know, take him off my hands, if I had him, I think I'd be willing to bite on that. But I'm not even really sure a whole lot of people are really, you know, buying into a Brad Keller breakout here. But what's your thoughts?
It's your year.
We've seen weirder things, trust me. But yeah.
People were kind of falling all over themselves to, you know, get Brad Keller, and I just was like, oh, it's the Royals. I'm just kind of concerned. Do you know
what you're doing?
Right. All of his numbers look so much better, and it's his curveball. Everything looks really good right now when you're watching it really on video. You know, he looks in sync. His release point, everything. So from a eye test perspective, he definitely looks like somebody that's going to be able to continue this for a while. The numbers say something different. So there's going to be obviously some issue at some point. I don't know. If I'm getting Brad Keller, like I was able to pick him off the waiver wire about a week or two ago for nothing. 100% I'm going to ride this. I can, especially with some of the other pitching that's been going on. But I don't know what to, this is one of those like, you know, like, but if you're telling me that I could get, you know, a possible, you know, working car for a dollar, absolutely, I'm going to buy that car. Now, you know, if it gets me to
just ride it until it dies,
exactly, write it.
And I get it. Totally get it. I've done the same thing.
That's how you. That's honestly, let's be honest, right? This is not the secret to winning in fantasy, is picking up those waiver wires and dropping them when they're not like needed, and rinse and repeat. This is one of those waiver wire heroes that very few people probably grabbed. And if you're in a single season, shallow league, he's still out there probably because people are still like, Royals, but go grab him, hold on to him, and see what he does.
Yep. All right, AJ, next up.
Buy low that we have here, and it may be a little more difficult now after his last start, but that would be Mr. Zach Gallen. He was atrocious after the first two games. Finally put it together in his last game and had a decent start. He's still sitting at a 4.58 ERA. His expected is two less than that. Another definitely heading into his prime age-wise at 27. He's got 21 strikeouts in 17 and two-thirds. He's 1-1. What are we doing with Gallen here? Again, it's another fairly highly priced guy.
Yeah, if I've got Gallen, I'm not getting rid of him. And if somebody wants to sell him on the cheap, I'm all for it. I just believe in him to be able to bounce back. He's been a good pitcher for the last, you know, 2-3 years. So, I'll take him off your hands if you don't want him.
Exactly. I am all about buying for people that are playing scared. Zach Gallen is, again, another top-tier pitcher who's going to strike out a ton. He's playing in Arizona, which is nice and dry, and, you know, it's warmer than a lot of other places. So it's perfect pitching environment. I don't know what happened with those first two starts, in the sense of I'm not going to expect that to be – and him striking an 11 in his last start, that's the Zach Gallen that if I have him, that's what I drafted for. Exactly. So, yeah, aces are going to ace. Thanks. To steal that line from a pitcher's list, and, all day long.
Yeah. So, all right. Just to save time here, I'm just going to lump these last four guys together. And you can speak on one or two of them, pick and choose, whatever. So these are the guys that we're kind of like, what do we do with, right? Sonny Gray, ERA of 0.53, expected ERA of 4.26. We know Gray has the potential to be good, not that good, but we've seen this before. We also know injuries are probably coming with him at some point. Max Scherzer, I mean, guy going in the top 10 picks of pitchers this year, 4.41 ERA. The expected is actually worse at 4.54, but like that's just eye-popping to me that like they're both bad. They're both just really bad. You would hope that the expected would be better, but they're both bad. In fact, it's worse for him. So what do we do there with him? He showed a little bit better off of this last start, but it still wasn't great. Alex Manoa for Toronto, 4.91. Expected ERA of 7.94. Woof. Only 11 strikeouts and 14 and two-thirds innings. And then Sandy Alcantara, 5.79 ERA, expected of 4.54. So, okay, cool, better, but still horrible. This was a guy who we all kind of – there was a lot of rumblings in the offseason. It was like, look, you buy Alcantara because he's going to give you the innings, and therefore he's going to, you know, rack up a ton of Ks because, you know, he wasn't like a 10, 11, 12 K per nine guy. He's an 8 to 9 K per nine guy. But, like, he gave you 230 innings, so you still got 200 strikeouts. And so you were fine with it. He hasn't gotten there. He's been crushed this season to start. So pick two that you want to kind of choose and tell us whether or not you be looking to buy or sell.
Well, Scherzer, his last outing on the 10th, right? He had, like, 6 strikeouts with 3 walks, no runs. Lot against the Padres, which is that's not like just solid. It's not the A's.
The walks aren't great, but yeah,
you're right. Against the Padres. But you know, against with a veteran who's almost 87 years old, you know, I'm not so much worried if he's keeping the walks in check because you know he quote unquote knows how to pitch. I'm wondering if you know when you see things like this, especially with these veterans, you know, getting those first couple starts with this new pitch clock. I know they had spring training. But, you know, there's a difference between spring training and, you know, the official season. And trying to understand, and you also have the new pickoff rules and all this stuff that they kind of have, and then calling in, if they're calling in with their own pitch con and all that stuff. I'm almost wondering if that's there. Max Scherzer, again, 87 years old, is phenomenal. I expect him to be okay. Now, the Sandy Alcantara, I am concerned, but I also love the Marlins entire pitching staff and what they do there. So I'm expecting something to happen there, but yeah, I mean, like you said, 200, you know, expecting a workhorse. That's why you got Alcantara and what he's showing right now is somebody's going to get yanked early and they're going to have to use up the bullpen and all those types of things. I'm hoping it's one of those things too, an acclimation to the new rules or something, because he is not, He's not Sandy, right? It's Sandy was much watched TV, and this is not him right now.
I did not take him in any single league.
And
honestly, it was mostly because the Fantasy Six Pack draft cheat sheet hated him. Knocked him down the list a bunch compared to where he was being drafted, and I was like, I mean, I'm going to have to trust my own process here and not draft him, so I didn't draft him anywhere. I was taking guys like Scherzer over top of him.
So, with that being said, do you know who the founder of Fantasy Six Pack? No, but you're right. No, the sheet hated him, and I was like, and I hate you. So I was like, you know what? Forget you, Joe. I'm gonna draft him anyways. And obviously, I showed that your sheet's smart.
Got to toot my own horn a little bit sometimes.
Toot away, toot.
But it's just a guy who was like, it's hard to predict another like.
Who farted?
What? Oh my God. It's hard to predict, you know, 220, 230 innings for a third consecutive year. Right. And I think that's Nolan what it was. Ryan
probably
the projection systems didn't didn't quite buy into it, and so sure. neither did the cheat sheet. And so,
I mean, the big thing, the big takeaway for me here is Alcantara's expected ERA is still sitting at a 4.54.
Still not good. Yeah, I mean, none of these
For a guy who just won the Cy Young, right. that's like Max Scherzer being like, "Oh, hey, screw you all. I had a fake contact in the one side and right. Changed my one eye color." That's not possible. I mean, he is yeah. awesome. I love Max and his crazy eyes. I mean, that's where the nickname in Orange is the New Black came from. So the fact that his XERA is sitting this high off of a Cy Young year just astounds me. I agree. I don't think the innings will be there this year. I mean, it's very tough for somebody to do that in today's game, year after year after year. So the ERA should come up, but God damn, like 4.5? Whew. I mean, are we back to juiced balls again and nobody knows it yet?
Well, a lot of people are sort of thinking that because the offenses have been crazy good so far. But ERAs might be a little inflated, but for him to go from what he was last year to 4.5, even if he was at 4, that's a major bust kind of call for yeah. Alcantara, where you had to draft him. So, all right, guys, that is it for the show. I want to thank you all for listening and watching. We will be back next week to discuss some more baseball with you all. Before we let you go, though, everybody, let them know where they can find you, and pointing to you, Dap, where they can find you. That's
a really good point. You can find me on Twitter at Dap Scout. That's DAP Scout. And also you can find me on the phenomenal Fantasy Six Pack waiver wire videos and various other YouTube content that we constantly are putting out.
Yeah, that's great stuff, guys. And then obviously AJ, you are at Applegarth Algar. He doesn't tweet, so it doesn't matter.
I do occasionally.
Yeah. Like
once or twice a month ish.
They're funny.
when I get on, I'm on. I mean, I'm there, and I'm you know, wasting time on the twit box and just throwing shit out there. So yes, that's apparently my handle. I guess that's what
you
I
changed
go
his
by.
Profile picture like a couple weeks ago. That was good stuff.
I did. I actually put a picture of myself instead of Garth Algar. So
because apparently, when I tell people to do something, they actually do it. You know, Dad bought cameras and
stuff. How many times have you told me to do something and I haven't done it?
Well, you're just lazy.
I'm not lazy. I'm ADHD. All right. I get like a huge checklist, and as long as I hit one thing on that, it's a good day.
All right.
It's a good day.
Well, I'm at F6P_Joe. All these links will be in the show description. Have a good night, everybody. See you all next week.